Welcome to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. I'm Dan Ratcliffe. During the week, you'll find your local news for Marietta, Kennesaw, Smyrna, and all of Cobb County right here. And on Sundays, like today, you'll find the Cobb Life podcast with the editor of Cobb Life magazine, Katie Ruth Camp.
It pays to know your doctor. It pays to know your lawyer. And now more than ever, it pays to know your local real estate professional. Hi, I'm Jeffrey Drake with Drake Realty, and we have 7 offices in the Metro Atlanta area, including 2 right here in Cobb County and 1 at Lake Oconee. I'm the proud leader of over 700 agents here in Georgia, and we pride ourselves in professional service, whether you are the buyer or the seller. Drake Realty makes the home buying process seamless from contract to close. Our agents are a little different. They're not pushing for the quick sale and close. They are pushing for the best price and terms for their client. In other words, Drake Realty fights for you. And right now, with the lowest interest rates we have seen in 30 years, now's the time to buy that dream home, vacation home, or new home your family deserves. A lot of real estate agents talk big. Let my team at Drake Realty prove they will fight for you. I'm Jeffrey Drake, and I'd be honored to have my team serve you. Visit us online at drakerealty.com. And remember, it's not how quick you sell or buy, it's what the deal provides for your future.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sunday Cobb Life podcast. This is Cobb Life editor Katie Ruth Camp, and I am here today with 2 very lovely young ladies that you might recognize from our current issue of Cobb Life magazine. I've got Ashley Whitworth and Grace Stoner in. Say hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
So they are both the co-owners of the Georgia Dance Conservatory and the Georgia Metropolitan Dance Theater. Quite a mouthful, but
yes,
but we got it, right? So if you haven't read the issue, it's actually our weddings issue. So this is one of our only features that isn't correlated to weddings, but we realize our readers might not always just want to read about weddings in a weddings issue. So we give them a little something different. But if you haven't read it, read it, but kind of go through how you guys became the owners of this storied company, because it's been there for so long. I mean, I think you said the space itself is 9,000 square feet. It's huge. It's got a lot of history to it. You grew up dancing there. So kind of take us through the story of your co-ownership.
Yeah, sure. So both Ashley and I grew up dancing at Georgia Dance Conservatory. And after we graduated high school, we both went off to college to pursue a professional dance career. And we both found our way separately back to GDC. And once we were back together, we just started talking about us both owning the studio. It had been a separate dream of ours, but we wanted to do it together. And it just seemed like it was the perfect timing when it happened. And yeah.
And here we are.
Yes, here we are.
Owning a dance studio in the middle of a pandemic, no less.
Fun times.
Yeah, yes. Not part of our original plan.
Absolutely not. We bought the studio in August of 2019. So when COVID hit in March, which now it's almost a year, you know, we've been in business during COVID times more than not during COVID.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Right. And this dream kind of came to fruition at a beach, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. It did. We were on a break from our jobs, and Gray has a spot down in Florida, and it invited me to come along. So of course I said yes. And we the funny thing about us is that anytime we're together, we just always we end up in this creative flow about our ideas, whether it's for the studio or talking about our students or talking about choreography. So we just had this moment where we connected and kind of opened up to each other for the first time, mm-hmm. about talking about our future, like our future, instead of just like the future of our students or the future, you know, like what show are we going to do next? Mm-hmm. So that was a pretty special moment, but it came about very naturally and everything has felt like we were in the right place at the right time, even in us coming back together, you know, kind of as adults or grown-ups, uh-huh. because we knew each other as younger dancers. So it was a pretty cool moment.
Because at the time you were artistic director and assistant artistic director, right? And mm-hmm. then Billy and Lisa Toops were mm-hmm. the owners of the studio. Yes. How did you get to know them?
Well, Miss Lisa has been my dance teacher since I was 7 years old. So, and I can probably say
I'm
the
just
same
picturing
for Ashley.
Little Gray dancing in her
little adorable. Yes.
Yes.
Little 7 year old Gray.
So Lisa and Billy are like our second parents to us. So they, you know, they feel like family. We've known them our whole lives. So, you know, we knew that they were probably ready to retire and just asked, what do you think about us buying the studio? And of course they were like, yes, let's figure this out.
Yeah, it was the right timing for them as well as us. Mm-hmm. And we had both been working for them when we came back from college as teachers and administrators at the school.
Right.
We were always really involved. And that was also a very natural relationship as well. They were extremely supportive of both of our careers and endeavors as individuals. But Miss Lisa had a huge impact in both of our lives, both as dancers, but also if anybody knows Lisa Toop, she's a very, very special person, the kind of person that makes you feel like you can do anything. She's just really an incredible individual. And then Mr. Billy is really an extension of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very supportive of us, and it was a special transition as well for them. They owned the studio. I was there under Miss Ruth when it was Ruth Mitchell Dance Studio, and I remember.
And for those who are unfamiliar with it, it's the dance studio at the corner of what is it, Mill and
West
kind of
Park,
an extension of Church Street. Right on the Marietta Square.
Yeah,
right.
Catty corner to Max.
And I don't think there's a time during the day or in the evening you can't walk by and you don't see little dancers bobbing up and down in the windows upstairs.
Yep, definitely. We enjoy our window space very much and the natural light that comes in through
the air. Yeah, for sure. And I'm sure on hot days the the natural air from the windows opening that come through
too. Yes. Oh, yes. But there used to be a lamp store downstairs.
Yeah. So you guys were telling me a little bit of the history. What do you know about that building? Because, I mean, obviously it's been on the square for a very long time. I mean, it's part of the square.
It has. The most recent history that I remember was that the downstairs was a lamp store and we had our studio upstairs, which was a very interesting
relationship.
Dancers dancing upstairs above a lamp store.
Did they have like lamps hanging? Like chandeliers?
I think
and stuff?
So. So, yeah, very interesting, I'll say. And then we had another location at what is now the Hair Arts Studio on Church Street. Mm-hmm. And under Lisa and Billy, they gained access to the lower part and they finished it out as a school. Mm-hmm. But I think that building used to be the Goldstein family store. Mm-hmm. And there's a really cool part that you can see there used to be a mezzanine in there. In some of this studio 1 and 2, you can see it. So
well, there's a lot of stories about these old buildings on the square. Do you have any ghost stories you can tell?
Yes, we have a very friendly ghost. Her name is, we call her Blanche. and she was up to a couple of things the other night in my class. I don't think I've even told you this yet. She started, I like had ended class. I swear to you, I hit pause on my iPad. And all of a sudden I was talking to my kids and Bye 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 by NSYNC starts playing. Which,
yeah, you texted me that. I forgot about that.
And I was like, okay, that's strange. Maybe it's on this playlist. Like, whatever. Maybe I didn't hit play. And like all the kids were like dancing it out. I was like, yeah, sure. Dance party. Great. But then I like went back over and I was like, that song is not on that playlist at all.
Yeah.
I have no idea how it happened. And she likes to, you know, bother you with like music. But, you know, technology, whatever, da 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 da. But
yeah,
sometimes she does.
And hopefully this fall, our listeners will understand the relevance of that song and that it popping up on your playlist when it wasn't on there. But
yes, it's hopefully going to be a part of Dancing with the Stars of Marietta.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But obviously, you guys work some late nights too. How did you come about doing this? Because, I mean, I guess at the time, right now you're 28 and 33, so you're around 26, 31. To not only take on such a huge task managerially, but financially too. I mean, it's a big risk both ways for you guys. How did you decide that this was something you could do and that you wanted to do at such a young age?
Well, the timing of it was either like, we're going to do it now or
somebody else is going to
do it. And, you know, we are young and we felt like we could afford to take the risks. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, people helped us with all the nitty gritty of the deal. But I think that was the biggest factor was we are young and we can take a risk. And if, you know, if something like COVID happens.
Wow.
Yeah. We can figure it out.
Yeah.
And it was new territory for both of us. You know,
I mean, because you guys have been dancers your entire lives.
You've been dance majors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not accountants.
Your careers have been in dance. Absolutely. In one way or another. So that part you had down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that's the easiest part in all of this, yeah. Obviously. But I think that being a dancer, you learn how to be very flexible, not fit, like in both, in many different ways. Yes. Did not mean to say that. But you learn how to be really creative, you know, I think as an artist in general, you learn how to roll with the punches and just figure it out as you go. So yeah. We brought that dancer mentality to the process and called on our, you know, families and friends, and a lot of people believed in us, you know, and Lisa and Billy, the owners too, everybody wanted to make it work. So we learned a lot along the way. And that's one of the things I really enjoy about the relationship I have with Gray is that we're both new at this and we're learning and we love to learn. You know, when a challenge comes that we don't know what we're doing, we don't need to pretend or posture. It's just like, hey, do you know what this is? Nope. Okay, well, let's Google let's call, you know, so-and-so or this connection or that connection. Uh-huh. And so we're not afraid to be in a space where we say, we don't know, but let's figure this out together. So that's a really positive part of our relationship. And honestly, for me personally, it's been really fun to step outside of just the dance space,
yeah,
and feel very fulfilled in this other entrepreneurial,
yeah,
space.
What has surprised you, both good and bad, since you've taken this on? I mean, I'm sure there's a lot more paperwork involved than you thought.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we're constantly writing. I mean, you know, Gray over here has become an expert in applying for government,
yes,
help. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's nonstop communication. I guess I knew it was going to be like that, but maybe didn't realize how much it would be about the communication. Again, the easiest part almost right now is when we do have the opportunity to step into the classroom, mm-hmm, which is really important to both of us. As much as we are owners and directors, our heart and soul is in the studio with those kids, making the connections, paying it forward in a way that we received. And, you know, that's the reason why we felt so passionate enough to say,
right,
we want to own this thing, is the experiences we had in the classroom. So,
well, and you essentially own two companies. So for people that may be confused when they see, you know, Georgia Dance Conservatory on the window, but then they also see Georgia Metropolitan Dance Theater above it. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's two different organizations, mm-hmm, right? So kind of explain the differences between those.
Yeah, so Georgia Dance Conservatory is the building that you see in the school. It's the school where all students take classes from. Georgia Metropolitan Dance Theater, or GMDT, is a nonprofit organization, and it has about 100 students in it right now, ages second through second.
And how many are in your school?
We have about 260.
That's awesome.
So this, yeah, is like the what we call the company division. So you have to audition to be in it. Mm-hmm. And that's the organization that puts on all the shows. So, mm-hmm, like the Nutcracker that you see that we do, or Dancing with the Stars of Marietta, which is one of GMDT's biggest fundraisers. So that is like the nonprofit wing mm-hmm. of GDC per se. So there's Georgia Dance Conservatory on one hand, GMDT's on the other hand. They're two separate organizations, but they can't be without each other. So it's a very complicated marriage.
Two separate sets of paperwork, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And for Georgia Metro, well, our company goes by many different names. And of course, it used to be called Ruth Mitchell Dance Theater. Mm-hmm. And then how many years ago, Gray, maybe about 10 years ago, they changed the name to Georgia Metropolitan Dance Theater, which is a mouthful. So we also go by Georgia Metro Dance Theater or GMDT. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of G's being thrown around. GDC is the studio and GMDT is the company. So the nonprofit Georgia Metro Dance Theater is run by a board of directors. And so on that side of things, she and I are in the boardroom and part of different committees like a finance committee or mm-hmm. executive committee. That's where we do our fundraising through and ask for grant money. So that's a whole separate set of skills that we've been in those shoes for longer than we have been in our ownership. So we're able to bring some of the business skills we had gotten, you know, mm-hmm. in the boardroom with the board of directors, you know, to our ownership and entrepreneurship with Georgia Dance Conservatory. So we do work with, Gray, how many people are on the board? Like mm-hmm. 14 board members for GMDT.
So that helps.
Yes.
Yes.
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you both grew up in the theater. You both went to college for dance. You both had hopes of making dance your profession performance-wise initially. What kind of different joy do you get now from owning your own studio versus being a professional dancer like you thought you were going to be?
I feel like it's the same type of joy, uh-huh. Just in a different way. You know, there's nothing to me better than helping a child like learn how to dance, and like when they finally get the move, like their eyes Aww, light up yeah. or when they finally get their pointe shoes, you can just like tell like how happy they are. And just knowing that, you know, our goal is not to like have all of our dancers go off to be professionals. That's not why we're doing this, mm-hmm. but we just know how big of an impact dance had on our lives. And just trying to teach that to the kids, and hopefully they'll go off and always appreciate the arts. And that's what makes it a joy to me. I mean, of course, I still love to perform and all that, but teaching in a way is almost performing because you're,
oh yeah.
I'm like, I'm Miss Gray when I'm in the mm-hmm. classroom. I'm not Miss Gray when I'm at home. So uh-huh. like, you know, it's basically putting on a character,
yeah,
which is fun.
And she and I do return to the stage every once in a while. The last okay. time we performed was in fall of 2019. She and I performed for Jump, Jive, and Boogie, which was that year's fall production. Mm-hmm. It was an evening of swing, music, and dance. And that was kind of Miss Lisa's last hoorah. We kind of turned it into like a celebration of us taking over and her stepping out. Mm-hmm. And there was this, I guess, infamous duet where there's two couples mm-hmm. that they do this really fast-paced swing dancing. And
I love swing dancing.
Yeah. So during one of our brainstorming sessions, I think we playfully were like, well, what if we did it? Ha ha ha.
Yeah. Then, ha, ha, ha.
You weren't laughing. Ha, ha.
No, yeah. Later when we were dying on the stage. It's a really challenging piece.
I had done that piece in high school, like my senior year yes. of high school. So I was like, all these memories came back of like, oh my gosh, this is like the hardest piece.
Like I
in
forgot
the world.
How much work oh, this was. Yeah.
Did not forget. But yeah. Miss Lisa was kind of like, no, you should do it. And of course we're like, okay. Like whatever you say.
Right. Yeah. Totally. But for me, I being a dancer, even though you are, when you step on stage, you're giving yourself to the audience. Mm-hmm. So you are focused on other people, but the day-to-day is very self-focused. Your instrument is your body. So you're constantly thinking about your body, mm-hmm. your body image and, you know, the way that you look and how much you weigh and taking yeah. class. And, you know, it's a very intense daily grind. Right. And to really make it as a professional dancer and to continue to make it, you have to just want it more than you want to breathe almost. It's like being a professional athlete, you know, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of dedication and discipline and, you know, something we were raised in, but to continue to do it, you know, through college, post-college.
And I know you mentioned like post-college, you were working four different jobs. You were just trying to make it work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The starving artist.
Oh, yes.
It's
not as glorious as it seems.
Yeah. Right? There's a fulfillment that you get as a dancer on stage that no other thing can bring you.
Sure.
No other thing can bring you. And it's so special. And for those that are still doing that, you know, especially during this time, they're called to it, you know, and it's something that should absolutely be celebrated. But in flipping that into becoming a teacher, choreographer, director, owner, now the day to day is focused on other people.
Yeah.
So much so sometimes that, you know, Gray and I, we have to remind each other, don't forget about yourself. You know, have you eaten today? I can see the look in your eyes. You need a day off or you need an afternoon off. So it's another great part about our relationship is we really take care of one another. But it does feel very fulfilling in a different way to give so much of yourself to other people.
Well, and at least now you can still make dance your profession, get paid, then go across the street and get a cheeseburger.
Absolutely. Yes.
And not feel guilty about
that's
it, right?
And having Stockyard right across the street is highly convenient, let me tell you. They're always like, have you been here before? And we're like, yeah.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Ashley and Gray.
You can search all over America, but you'll find America's largest gun store in Cobb County, Georgia. Adventure Outdoors, proud supporter of the Second Amendment and the red, white, and blue, with over 18,000 guns in stock every day. Did you know Adventure Outdoors is also home to one of Georgia's largest shooting ranges, the Remington Range, with basic range memberships starting at only $25 per month, which includes unlimited lane rental, 3 free firearm rentals per month, free shirt and hat, priority lane placement, and guest passes. Adventure Outdoors also offers family, corporate, and group plans. One of America's top shooting facilities is right here in Cobb County, and for only $25 a month, you can be a member and receive unlimited lane rentals and so much more. Support the Second Amendment and your right to own and bear arms, and practice and learn at Adventure Outdoors Remington Range today. Adventure Outdoors, South Cobb Drive in Smyrna, or online at adventureoutdoors.us.
You deserve better than your bank. Better service, better rates, better solutions. If you live or work in Cobb County, now is the perfect time to make the switch to the Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. Since 1960, Credit Union of Georgia has been providing Northwest Georgia with financial solutions that make sense for your home, business, and family. As a homegrown, not-for-profit cooperative, our members are our mission. Not only will you get the best loan rates, you'll get personalized customer service from people who understand your needs. Plus, Credit Union of Georgia provides real convenience with a network of more than 30,000 accessible ATMs and branch locations across the country. Of course, there's also 5 locations right here in Cobb County. Ready to see how much better your banking can be with Credit Union of Georgia? Become a member today or apply for a loan online by visiting www.cuofga.org. Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank.
So we are back with Ashley Whitworth and Grace Stoner. They are the owners of GMDT and the Georgia Dance Conservatory on the Marietta Square. So we were just talking a little bit about your own dance backgrounds. I know that the school offers a variety of types of dance. I'm just curious, what were your personal favorite types of dance? What did you kind of specialize in, or what did you enjoy the most?
Well, when I went off to college, I had no idea what I wanted to like specialize in, which is why I went to University of Arizona. But as I went through college, I really fell in love with ballet, and I thought I was going to be like this contemporary jazz dancer, but I just fell in love with ballet, and I'm a ballerina at heart. Mm-hmm. But now I teach all contemporary and jazz. So, you know, it just worked.
You're just well-rounded.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah. What about you, Ashley?
Well, I was raised in classical ballet, and mm-hmm. that's what Miss Ruth's school was really strong in and known for, although we did always do different styles like jazz and modern. So I, too, when I went off to college, I was thinking I would do ballet, but then I fell in love with modern dance.
So you swapped.
And became, I actually graduated with a degree as a modern dance performance major. But then when I returned back here home, I was taking class with some of my teachers that I took with when I was growing up, mm-hmm. and fell head over heels back in love with ballet. So I am the ballet teacher.
Yeah.
One of the main ballet teachers at the school. And I love it. I'm obsessed with it. I'll talk ballet all day long, ballet terminology, ballet history. But there is that part of me that, you know, I went into the modern world for a while and took my shoes off and let my hair down. And it was really neat when I reconnected with Miss Ruth, when I came back as well, and this was shortly before she passed, I found out she was a modern dancer. And that blew my mind because I always knew her as my ballet teacher,
right.
Like the quintessential woman who makes you straighten your spine when she walks in the room type of deal. So she was a modern dancer when modern dance was like a new thing. Mm-hmm. So she was part of dance history, which is like just wild. It's so cool. So that was kind of a cool connection. But both Gray and I were trained similarly. But it does blow the kids' minds sometimes when I talk about me teaching jazz or her teaching ballet. Like the kids suggested for Halloween, like, Miss Gray, you should be the ballet teacher. And Miss Ashley, you should be the jazz teacher. And we just looked at each other like,
if you only knew.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, ha ha ha, that would be funny.
It wouldn't be funny to them.
Right.
They'd be like, oh.
Well, do you think, because obviously when Ruth Mitchell opened, ballet was dominant, you know, that's what people took. And then it seems like modern jazz, all that kind of had like the sexy era where people were like, ugh, ballet's gross. We want to do this. Do you feel like ballet's kind of coming back a little bit? And if so, why do you think that is?
I think that, I mean, ballet will always be there. It's like classical music. It just is this beauty unto mm-hmm. its own. And I asked Miss Ruth, too. I said, I was like, why did you choose classical ballet? Because modern does offer this sense of freedom and this beautiful groundedness and realness, whereas mm-hmm. ballet is very ethereal and you're pretending to be a fairy or a sylph.
You're very light.
Right. Yeah. And then jazz, like you said, is fun and sexy and hip. And so I was like, why, you know, Miss Ruth, why ballet? And she said, there's just nothing like classical ballet. And
yeah,
that sums it up without really explaining it. But it's like classical music. Ballet will always be there and have an audience, I think. And especially when it's tied into nostalgia, like the Nutcracker
right.
and things like that. So it's always been there for me. So I don't know if it's having a comeback or if people are just more aware and more appreciative of it with more dance being accessible through the internet
mm-hmm.
or even shows like So You Think You Can Dance or Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Although they don't spotlight classical ballet, it's just putting dance into the public
sure.
eye. So I always think ballet has been there and will be to the
well
end
now
of
like
time.
Bar classes, you know, mm-hmm. that's kind of been incorporated into workouts and mm-hmm. I've been taking some online dance classes at home just to try to stay in shape and I'm so sore. I've done like three in a row and I'm like, what is wrong with me? My thighs and my butt are like yeah. killing me this morning when I got out of bed. But obviously that means it's working.
Yes.
And it's funny because a lot of times you'll see these shows or you'll see something and you'll be like, wow, that was really cool. But then when you actually like try to do it, you're like, oh my God, I can't do this over and over and over. And well, Gray is known because I was in Dancing with the Stars in 2016. Mm-hmm. We won it.
Yes, woo-woo. We did.
Well, she was my choreographer, but and man, that dance was hard too, and it was fast paced. And I remember there were plenty of times where me and Adam Russell, my partner, would just like lay on the ground, and we're like, "Gray, don't make us do it again, please. I can't do it again. We're too tired." She's like, "Get up." She looks nice and sweet yes. and innocent, but until she's forcing you to do the dance for a fourth time.
Get ready for
obviously it works, though. It works. Well, talking about Dancing with the Stars, kind of give us an update on that. And full disclosure, I'm in this year's Dancing with the Stars again. It's an all-stars. So you guys have brought back some of the people from past years and put us in groups. So can I say who my group is?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm with Andy Gaines from The Strand, which I'm super excited about. And then my two new friends, Lee Freeman-Smith and Paige Pushkin. So we're super excited about our dance. It's going to be a lot of fun. But kind of give us an update, because I know it's kind of gone through some fluctuations. Mm-hmm. And it's something the community looks forward to every year. I know it sells out every year. You guys raise, on average, what, about $45,000 to $50,000 alone from that, which is huge. So yeah, kind of talk about that.
Yeah, so this year we had always planned to do an All-Stars, just because we felt like it's time, because I believe this is the 7th annual Dancing with the Stars. So we thought it was time to bring people back, because everyone's always asking me, can I dance again? And I'm like, put that in writing. Okay, sure. So we decided to change it up a little bit even more. Usually we have teams of two, and this year...
that are both the stars.
Yes, both the stars. So ours is a little bit different. We don't have a professional dancer with the local celebrity, which just makes it even more interesting. So usually we have teams of two, but I have been wanting to do teams of like three or four, just to change it up a little bit. Yeah. And I thought All Stars would be the perfect way to do that. So of course we had planned to do it. Actually, it was supposed to happen tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
February 13th.
Wow, yeah.
Which is crazy.
Oh, thank God it's not.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure we would have made it work.
Fine. It would have been fine. But, you know, Dancing with the Stars is a live show. That is a show mm-hmm. that has to be live. The audience's energy is out of this world. If you've never been, you have to go.
Well, even I saw, so I've had Melanie Kagan on my mm-hmm. podcast before, and I know she won it a couple of years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
awesome.
Yeah. So I saw that Max, her husband, had reposted the video, and I don't know why I got like all teary-eyed and like excited watching it. And I was like, what? Why am I getting emotional over this? But it's just like the crowd is so into it and everybody's so excited, and to see people that you know and really like out there just like putting themselves totally out there.
Yeah.
It's so awesome. And I know for me and Adam, we had a lot of lifts mm-hmm. in ours. And I remember we were the last team to go, which has its benefits, but definitely has its downsides, because everybody else gets done and you see this rush of relief come over them and they're like, where's the alcohol? You know, like, thank God that's over with. And you're like, oh my God. I've got to still wait. And I remember I was getting all these texts at intermission from all these people that I didn't even know were coming that were there. And I was like, Adam, if you drop me in front of all these people, I know I'm going to kill you. And Gray will tell you there were some lifts where we had to be like, okay, do not look like you're scared to death when I'm jumping into your arms. Like, be a man. You got this. Mm-hmm. Like, look at me like you got this. So that probably wasn't the best thing to tell Adam before we went out there, because he was like, oh my God. Okay. But it is. I mean, it's very hard to put yourself out there in front of not only people you know, but people you don't know too. Mm-hmm. And to like hear this just roar of a crowd when you're starting, and then seeing, like, even though you're trying not to while you're out there, seeing all these faces that you know, and spotting people out there and just being like, don't get nervous. So, I mean, I'm really proud of all the people that have done it. How many people have done it so far, would you say? Probably close to 40?
Or 50.
Yeah.
Because each year we have a different amount of contestants.
Right.
But, you know, on average we have about 6 teams.
Yeah.
I just know that show has to be live. We have to have a live
audience. I went on a tangent. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it could not work virtually.
No. And, you know, we have done virtual shows this year. Like, we put on an entire Nutcracker.
Right.
And filmed it and made a movie. And, you know, we're doing different, being creative for our spring production as well. But to me, I was like, Dancing with the Stars has to have people in the audience. And, you know, because of that, we're just postponing and just going to wait until we can do it safely.
Right. And hopefully this fall, right?
Yeah. It's fingers crossed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fingers crossed.
And still at the Strand, right?
Yes. We couldn't do it anywhere other than the
well,
Strand.
Especially with Andy.
Well, yeah. I think Andy would like say bye. Yeah.
Bye, bye, bye.
So it's really cool to hear your experience through Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
And, you know, with having 40, 50 people in it, y'all really do get a taste of what dance is about. Mm-hmm. And it just brings us back to, like, the reason we're doing this is because you really learn what you're made of when you're put on the stage, on the spot, with all those people looking at you, music plays, and you got to go.
Yeah.
You got to just do it. So, and working with a partner as well, you learned, you know, how to work together and trust somebody and just to be brave and to,
well,
you know.
Well, and too, when I'm 5'2", when I walked in the first rehearsal, I think Adam is 6'4".
Yeah, he's very 6'5". Tall.
I looked at Gray, I was like, how is this going to work?
I was like, it'll be fine.
I think we even have a rehearsal photo of he was like, he had his hand up in a high five and I had to jump like a foot and a half to reach
it. And you did, every time, you got it, every time.
Yeah. We got it, we learned to get it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you do. And, you know, I sing on the side. For, you know, couple productions and bands and Strand and Opry and that sort of thing. But singing and dancing to me are so totally, like, I could sing all day. I'm totally fine. I don't really get nervous. You know, I make sure I know the words. But other than that, you know, I'm okay. But dancing like that is something just totally different, because it's one thing if you forget your words while you're singing. It's another thing if you get flown across the stage because he didn't catch you, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Or if you trip up on your feet but I mean, just like with singing, you've got to learn to keep going and keep breathing and, and figure it out and, you know, make sure that you can finish.
Right.
Right. The show goes on.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So y'all mentioned that you've owned the studio during a pandemic more than not.
Yep.
How have you navigated that? How have you, most awful word is pivot, but I mean,
sure, yeah.
How have you
pivoted? Well, we joke about that because pivot to us is a dance step.
Yeah. Oh,
so
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, we're used to pivoting. But so we were in the theater for our spring production of our 63rd season for Georgia Metro Dance Theater. We spend a week in the theater to make sure everything's ready to go before our performances on the weekend. So we were there on Thursday, March 12th?
12th or 13th, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, the news was buzzing about this new thing called COVID, and we started hearing about schools shutting down and things like that. And we called an emergency board meeting after the last dress rehearsal. Gray and I had the feeling that we may have to shut this thing down. So we were trying to handle it the best way we could with our kids who work all year long. And for the seniors, especially, they've worked their whole dance career from the time they're 7 to the time they're 17 or 18 to get to this final performance. So that's where we started, was by having to cancel our spring show last year. That was on a Thursday. And by Monday, we had our entire studio up on Zoom. And at that time, we had 400 students. And we have like 20 staff members. So I heard about this thing called Zoom, and I was like thinking in my head, like, before I was like, what would we do as a studio, like, if we had to shut down like a school, just, you know, as an exercise,
right?
And that ended up happening. And so with a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of Zoom links and a lot of online meetings, we got our studio back up and running that very Monday.
Yeah.
And figured it out just like the rest of the world. So we stayed shut down for a few months and then very cautiously tiptoed back into the dance space over the summer, with very limited amounts of dancers together. We measured our studio up, down, and sideways for that magical 6 feet apart, to come up with, you know, what would be the safest number per studio. And then, you know, just started dancing again, which felt great to be back together.
Could you tell, like, through the Zoom classes and stuff that this was really taking a toll on some of the kids?
Oh, yeah. Our teenagers were, I could just tell that they were just sad. They were so sad. Like, you know, those seniors had their final, you know, if it was like football, it'd be like your final last game taken away from them very suddenly. But they handled it like adults. They were very mature about it. But, you know, as a teenager, not being able to hang out with your friends, that's what you do.
Yeah.
So I really like hurt for them. And I think once we came back, I could tell that they were like, oh, I'm never going to take dance class for granted again. Like, yeah. I love spending time with my friends. But, you know, the younger kids just went with the flow.
Yeah, they've all been as resilient as.
Yes.
It's been so inspirational. We tell them to put a mask on, they put a mask on. All right, what's next, Miss Ashley, Miss Gray? Like, we just want to dance. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of dance right now, especially, is that we could still do it over Zoom. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the same, but it was something, you know.
Right. It kept them going.
Yep. And we have them still get into their uniform, like, still put on your leotard, still put your hair in a bun. Mm-hmm. So there was a sense
of... Can't dance in your pajamas.
That's right. Although some people did try to. So we saw some interesting things. Lots of animals joining in.
Sure.
Some parents sometimes would join in. My cats got into a fight one time while I was teaching class. So there was, you know, some funny stories that we'll, you know, take with us. But I know we're all done with Zoom. But we're thankful for it, too, because, you know, without it, we wouldn't have been able to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to move the body in this time is so important. Because it just, dance is very meditative, right? You come to the dance space and all that matters is the step that you're doing right then. The plie, the tendu, the roll down in the music. And it kind of takes you to this special place that's been very necessary for all of us, teachers and dancers included.
Mm-hmm.
So it's meant so much more than ever. It just is like, and there's such a sense of joy every week when we get together. It's like, oh, we made it through another week. We're all still here. How many of us are in quarantine? How many, you know, who's back? And so it's just, we have always, you know, known, we grew up in dance and we knew the connective power of dance, but it's just, we see it in a new light now. Mm-hmm. And it means even more than it did before.
Are you still taking on new students?
No, not right now, mm-hmm. but our summer classes will be coming out soon. And then registration for the next dance season, which goes through with the school year, mm-hmm. will be coming out as well soon.
Okay, great. Well, where can people find more information about you guys, about Dancing with the Stars?
So for Georgia Dance Conservatory, our website is georgiadance.com. And then you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow Georgia Metropolitan Dance Theater on Facebook and Instagram. And their website is georgiametrodance.org.
Great. And do you have any productions planned coming up? I mean, I know it's a little difficult right now.
We do. Currently, we're pivoting for our Swan Lake, which is our spring production.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting all the final details for that together as we speak. And then, you know, we'll have our end of the year recital for Georgia Dance Conservatory in June, which we're looking forward to.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Ashley and Gray, for joining me. And best of luck with this year and pivoting through this coronavirus. You've already done great, so I'm sure you'll continue to do so.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you can trust Carmichael Funeral Home to guide you through the arrangements necessary to create a meaningful ceremony that celebrates the unique life being honored. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, our staff is committed to providing your family with the highest quality care and service in your time of need. In addition, we take pride in our responsibility to lighten your burden as you take the first steps toward healing. No matter what your choice, we believe in lives lived well. Please contact us with any questions regarding your pre-arrangement requests. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, individual attention, providing support to the community, healing lives and grieving hearts, and celebrating lives well lived are our privilege to help. Contact us today or visit us online at carmichaelfuneralhomes.com. Celebrating memories you'll always cherish. Carmichael Funeral Homes.
This podcast is brought to you in part by AM 920 The Answer, Atlanta's home for news, opinion, and insight. Just go to am920theanswer.com to listen live. That's am920theanswer.com.
Thank you for joining me for the Cobb Life edition of the Marietta Daily Journal podcast from your local news source, the Marietta Daily Journal and MDJ Online. Be sure to pick up a copy of this month's Cobb Life magazine and visit us online for more complete details on the stories we've discussed, plus more stories that affect you and the people of Cobb and surrounding areas. Subscribe and share this podcast to get all the latest hyperlocal updates, plus great stories about what makes living in Cobb so special. Or ask Alexa or Google Home to play the Marietta Daily Journal podcast for you. Share your thoughts or questions with us in the comments section or call the MDJ podcast comment line at 404-997-8655. We might even share your comment on an upcoming episode. The MDJ podcast is produced by BG Ad Group. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.